talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, I was thinking, God, we had 3 days of packed shows live from the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, and what you heard in our statewide hour was just a fraction of everybody we got a chance to catch up with, just a fraction of everything that we got a chance to cover and see at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. So I was thinking about it. Man, what are we going to talk about today? What are we going to start with on the show today? And I feel like we need to start with your phone calls. We need to find out what you want to talk about, because we filled the show up so full over the past 3 show days that now we got to free things up, because the best part of this show is getting a chance to hear from you and taking phone calls from all across Montana. So that's what we're going to do today. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. I also started thinking about it, though. When I was thinking about this question, what should we talk about here on this Monday? What should we start the show with? And then I realized we didn't play the final clip. We didn't play the final back and forth. Last week, one of the conversations that we were able to have on the floor of the SHOT Show was Colorado Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. And we were talking with her about a whole bunch of different topics. But the one question that I didn't get a chance to share with you on our statewide show last week was, I talked about, well, let me just play it for you. This was Congresswoman Lauren Boebert out of Colorado, and she was talking about how there were no more roughnecks in her area, how the radical environmentalists are putting our forests at risk, and a lot of those good jobs, the roughneck jobs, were moving out of her neck of the woods because of the radical environmentalists that now dominate the state of Colorado. And that's when I threw this question her way.
I remember being in Colorado in the late 90s, and Colorado, you know, the Western livestock, you name it, the trade shows that go on there, that's when the Californians started moving in, and now Colorado's just been Californicated. People are worried that the same thing could happen to Montana for 10 years from now, or in some pockets already has. Any thoughts on that, and what hopefully we can do right now to prevent that?
Well, you have to have a strong support at your state level. That's what went wrong in Colorado. Democrats completely took over our state legislature, and they've had a supermajority for quite some time now, and that has been detrimental on all fronts, whether it's with our lands, with our schools, our children, the regulations, and even our Second Amendment. Last year, they passed another 6 unconstitutional laws infringing your Second Amendment rights in Colorado, even allowing cities, towns, counties, special districts to ban concealed carry in those areas if they so choose. Our concealed carry permit was our saving grace, and now that means nothing.
Wow. Congresswoman Boebert, great to see you. Thanks for spending some time with us here on Montana Talks.
Thanks so much. Maybe next time I could join you with my buddy Matt Rosendale.
Yeah, you have to do that. I'm sure he'll invite you to Montana. I know there's a lot of Montanans who'd love to see you.
He's a lot of fun. Love serving with him. Y'all have a great representative in Montana with him.
All right, great to see you.
Thank you.
And that was just part of our content, just a small slice of everything that we covered last week at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Let's get to your phone calls and more right after this. 406-294-0970 on our Parsec data management phone lines.
Healthy life.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here. 406-294-0970. First up, Ron in Big Fork, listening to KJJR. Great to hear from you, Ron.
Hey, good morning. I listened last week, and I was pretty much amazed that the people you spoke to from Montana, even Big Fork here, I had no knowledge of any of these people. Is there any way you can post an attendee list from Montana?
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, so you probably heard Shield Arms out of Big Fork was one of the big ones that we talked with. Yeah.
Skinner also.
And Skinner Sights out of St. Ignatius. In fact, Skinner Sights out of St. Ignatius, they're the ones that do the more traditional look with the iron sights and everything. But Attorney General Austin Knutson, who we spoke with Friday on the show, he went and got a firsthand look. Apparently, the new Ruger Marlin 1895 rifles have the Skinner sights on them, and that's a really cool looking rifle. I've got a photo of it on our Montana Talks website. What else stood out to you?
The number of people in Montana that are manufacturing firearms related items, and I want to spend my money in Montana if I can. The work ethic here, and you know, with the economy, I'd like to just support Montana people.
I'm with you there. That's why, you know, when we had this opportunity, because it's an invite-only deal to be at the SHOT Show. You can't just say, hey, I want to be there and show up. We were you know, invited to be there last year, got invited back this year, and they already said, hey, man, you guys crushed it. You guys did so well getting so many folks on your show that we want you. You've already guaranteed a spot next year for us. But I'm with you. That, like, I don't gamble, and I'm not knocking anybody who does. But my point being is that I could care less if I go to Vegas, right? In fact, I'd rather not go to Las Vegas anymore because of the marijuana smell. You can't get away from it walking down the street, and then you walk in the casinos and it's smoky. Either way, but my point being, I want to be there at the big SHOT Show is because I want to find out who all these Montana companies are so that our listeners can find out about them and then support them, right?
Absolutely. Did they provide you with a list?
I got, you know, the Montana Department of Commerce put out a little bit of a list with some of the folks. If you go to our, not to just do another shameless plug for our Montana Talks website, but if you go look at all of the people that we spoke to on our podcast page in particular, you're going to see everybody from Hewer Defense, Reflex Protect Tactical. You're gonna hear about the Badlands Brawl out in the Poplar Wolf Point area. You're going to hear about Stone Glacier. You're going to hear about Shield Arms, a whole bunch of them. And then if you go right now, you'll see some of what stood out to Governor Gianforte and to Attorney General Austin Knutson as well. So, yeah, great question, though, Ron. Holland Shooting Supply, they do a long-range shooting school out of Huntley as well. That was another guy that we caught up with down there. But you're right, there's so much of this in Montana that Montanans aren't even aware of it. In fact, the point that Governor Greg Gianforte made, let me see what he shared via Twitter following his visit. He said this, Montana has the highest number of firearms and ammunition businesses per capita in the country. Adding, quote, with our business-friendly environment, proud Second Amendment heritage, and unmatched quality of life, we'll recruit more. So that's what the governor had to say about the gun industry here in Montana. Next up on the phone lines, we got Alan in Kalispell. Alan, what's going on? What do you want to talk about?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
I want to talk
about welfare reform. Now, how many of us actually go into a convenience store in the morning and buy, you know, our drinks and whatever? And then you see people pull out their food stamp card and buy energy drinks, stuff out of the hot case, chips. Why can't we get rid of that and make them go on to something like WIC, where they have to go to the grocery store, buy a loaf of bread, make a sandwich, and drink water? I know this came around in, I believe it was the Clinton era, when they put on nutritional facts on everything. And one person at that time told me, well, people don't know how to cook. Whatever happened to Betty Crocker cookbooks are just making a dang sandwich? It just really irritates me to see how wasteful this money is being spent for people that are supposed to be in need, when they can go spend $10-$12 every morning on their welfare card for their drinks, and then turn around and buy cigarettes and or any tobacco product and pay cash. How can we get this changed?
I think I heard something. Did I see something on Twitter? Maybe one of our Montana lawmakers listening in. I think somebody's proposed a bill in the Montana legislature that would change some of how that that money can be spent when purchasing food products, to where basically you'd have to, it could only be used to purchase healthier products. But I don't know if you guys saw this. What was it, like 2 weeks ago, where Tucker Carlson had this guy on his show? Remember when, let's see, what was the story here? Anyway, it gives it a unique flavor. Now it's pop. Soda is club soda. Anyway, that's how I grew up. You might have grown up a little differently. It's funny how even in Montana, like stamp funding, what the requirements are there. So anyway, phone lines are open. Anything and everything you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. Greg in White Sulphur Springs next up. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to talk about the Biden crime family with the more, you know, documents that they're finding and all the different houses and, you know, next to the Corvette and whatever. You know, the Bidens have compromised America's security with China, Russia, Ukraine, other countries around the world for money, and especially China. And here's the thing. If the Republicans were to handle this correctly, we could solve problems right away. And I mean, don't mess around with thinking about possibly impeaching him or something. March into the White House and arrest the guy, and Hunter too, and take them and put them, prosecute them. And
yeah, you mentioned you mentioned the Biden crime family and searching all of his houses. The news report I heard on the radio this morning said that they're now going to be looking to search his beach house. Which raises a number of questions, right? How many houses does this guy have? There's not an electric vehicle in one of them owned by Joe Biden. And why does he have a beach house? I thought climate change was going to, you know, was going to destroy all the beach houses in America.
Yeah, well, I could care less about that. I'm talking about the way we do it here. Kamala Harris is also dereliction of duty. She has never done anything about the border, which she was assigned to do. So arrest her and get her out at the same time. Then here's the thing. When the president is not available, when the vice president is not available, guess who becomes president? The Speaker of the House. And that's what I'm putting.
All right, careful.
Put Kevin McCarthy in.
Careful with the language we get to. Still a family program. We try not to clutch the pearls too much, but we are still try to be a family program here, especially in our statewide hour of the show. But the Biden crime family, you know, this is what Stephen Miller had to say. Stephen Miller and Greg, thanks for the call. Stephen Miller was, of course, a top advisor to President Trump. You know, he was part of the team that basically Stephen Miller was the key immigration policy advisor that designed the successful border security plan for President Donald Trump alongside President Donald Trump. Stephen Miller said this. He says, if the DOJ doesn't investigate the nexus between Biden's classified document theft, the Biden Center, and the family's influence peddling for cash, it is a rigged sham. He then added, just like the FBI never cared why Hillary created a secret illegal server and wiped it, i.e. to conceal her pay-for-play scheme. Spot on by Stephen Miller. Now, meanwhile, David Noble caught this. David Noble does a great job filling in for us here on Montana Talks from time to time. He had his Twitch TV podcast over the weekend, and he was watching Meet the Press. And what David Noble thinks is, okay, if even NBC's Meet the Press is talking about Joe Biden's mishandling of classified information, then that means they're starting to push Joe. They want to push Joe Biden to the side.
Up next, the classified document story. They were found 6 days before the midterm elections, but it would be 68 days before the public found out. Our panel is here with the thoughts.
Wow, dude. Chuck Todd actually bringing up the timeline that shows that Biden tried to cover this up. There, that's exactly right there. Right there is, again, that's the type of thing I'm looking for to determine if they're going to try to use this to take out Biden. Because normally, Chuck Todd would never, ever, ever bring that up. They would be lying and obfuscating about it.
on the Biden White House strategy of staying silent.
All right. Anyway, great clip there from David Noble at LCTR fan, lecture fan on Twitter and on Twitch. I like the way he said Chuck Todd there, too. Chuck Todd. It was like Margo. You know, remember Margo and Todd, the neighbors in a Christmas Vacation? They lived next door to the Griswolds. I don't know, Todd. Oh, you know, Todd. Todd knows very well the criminality that is going on back in Washington right now. But as Greg and White Sulphur said, okay, they pushed Joe Biden to the sidelines. Well, who becomes president then? Kamala Harris. Did you hear what Vice President Kamala Harris said, or shall we say didn't say, over the weekend? She was at a pro-abortion rally. She tried quoting the Declaration of Independence, but she left a couple of very important pieces out of the Declaration of Independence.
A promise we made in the Declaration of Independence, that we are each endowed with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Be clear. These rights were not bestowed upon us. They belong to us as Americans.
Did you hear that, Margo and Todd? We are each endowed. We're very well endowed. I don't know. Who are we? Why are we endowed? How are we endowed? How well endowed are we? We are each endowed to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. How does she say it again here real quick, Harold?
A promise we made in the Declaration of Independence, that we are each endowed with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
She left just a couple of parts out here. Let me read the full portion of the Declaration of Independence. We are each endowed to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Let me read it for you here. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Did you see the way she just tried to, you know what, I'm not going to include the Creator here. She gives you these rights, not God. She is the God here when government is the God of the radical left. And, she's just going to scrub that one out of the Declaration of Independence for you there. All right, back into the phone lines we go. 406-294-0970. Coach John in Kalispell, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Hey, I really, really enjoyed listening to you guys doing, you and John doing recon for us down there at the SHOT Show.
That was a great time.
I grew up in Carbondale, Colorado. I'm an Air Force brat. That was the first time, freshman through senior year, I got to go to the same school for 4 years in a row. I went to college, but we played rifle. Rifle was in our AA division. And I'm fond of the Western Colorado. I really enjoyed your discussion with Lauren Boebert. And you guys got to talk to so many high-profile people. I was just curious, what was your highlight? What was your favorite part?
Of
your experience? Well, I know that's a tough
one. That is a tough one. While I think of that, you tell me what. Well, you mentioned Lauren Boebert. Did you have another favorite highlight? And then I'll use that as a stall tactic so I can think of my favorite highlight.
Well, Austin Knutson, I think you followed up right after one of the SHOT Show coordinators that you spoke with. The big thing that stuck out for me was the fact that you guys were representing Montana, and basically it was just like being there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Everything that you're pursuing, highlighting all the local Montanans, which Greg Gianforte's comment about we have the most gun manufacturing businesses per capita in the United States. I mean, that's a really proud point. But
definitely.
My favorite part was I felt like I was there. I was really proud of Montana, and very proud of how you guys represented
that's the,
our state.
That's the best compliment a guy like me working in radio could ever get, is you felt like you were there. Because I'll tell you what, that is my goal. Whenever we go to the Capitol in Helena, whenever we go to Sykes Diner in Kalispell, whenever we go to the SHOT Show in Vegas, when we go to Cowboy Christmas in Vegas, when we do the show from the Cigar Lounge with Flint Rasmussen, we want you to feel like you're sitting there with us. Man, that is such an honor. While you were saying that, it got me to think about what my favorite moment was from the SHOT Show. So I'll share that next, and then we'll get back to more of your phone calls. 294-0970.
This is Where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
Well, tomorrow on January 24th, the Montana Ag Tech Innovation and Investment Summit will take place in Great Falls at the airport. Yes, there's an outstanding convention meeting space there at the airport. And the Montana Ag Tech Innovation Investment Summit will focus on bringing cutting-edge technology and innovation to the forefront of Montana's agricultural economy. If you're an entrepreneur with a great idea or looking to invest in or partner with an ag tech innovation, this could be the event for you. There are a few tickets available to attend. I will be emceeing the event in Great Falls tomorrow and look forward to seeing the folks that are attending. And I'll have a full recap of the event here later this week. Today's program is brought to you by the Montana Farmers Union. For more on how to join, visit Montana Farmers Union online. Well, the January cattle on feed inventories were reported 3% below a year ago, just under 11.7 million head. While marketings in feedlots during the month of December were down 6%, and the placement activity came in around 1.8 million head, which is 8% below a year ago, and the smallest for the month since 2018. Despite a marketing pace at the low end of the five-year range, smaller placements still allowed on-feed inventories to decline from a year ago. I'm Lane Northmont.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, that's a tough question. So Coach John in Kalispell said, hey, what was your favorite experience at the SHOT Show? We did 3 days of shows last week and then caught up with a bunch of people on the floor. There's two stories that come to mind. The runner-up, and this is an incredible runner-up, and this would probably be the highlight, but I got a Montana angle, and the Montana angle is always gonna supersede. I'm at the Maxim Defense booth. They got this incredible sniper rifle set up with the Maxim Defense barrel on it, and every type of optic and thermal, whatever, everything is on this sniper rifle. So I asked the Maxim guys, because I went to see our Norwegian buddy, a guy by the name of Magne Rudahl. Magne Rudahl is an actual Norwegian, not just like many of us who, you know, have Norwegian ancestors. He is still a Norwegian. He was the head of Norwegian special operations, the head of the whole special operations for the Norwegians, and worked closely with Ryan Zinke. I actually met him through Ryan Zinke when Ryan Zinke was at the SHOT Show. Now Congressman Ryan Zinke was at the SHOT Show last year, because they worked together when Zinke was a SEAL in Europe and Magne was running all special operations for Norway. But anyway, I go to say hello to Magne, and then I ask one of the Maxim guys, hey, can somebody describe this rifle for me and put it on camera? Well, the guy who ends up describing the rifle for me is this legendary 10th Special Forces Group sniper, Green Beret, by the name of Sue LaRue. And I did sneak in a how do you do, because his name was Sue. But anyway, so he's showing me the rifle. All of a sudden, this guy with this really good-looking hairdo and nice shirt comes over and starts name-calling and joking around with Sue LaRue. The other guy is a guy by the name of Rick Bryant, who is, and all of a sudden, these guys are talking back and forth, and they're telling me how you know, Rick Bryant and Sue LaRue, they work together on all these weapon systems, you name it. And Rick Bryant is basically the guy who designed and ran the night vision program for SEAL Team 6. He was a recon marine himself. And anyway, and I'm hearing these two guys talking back and forth, and I'm like, holy cow. That was an incredible experience. But I got to say, my favorite experience at the SHOT Show in Vegas was I went over to the Shield Arms to their display. They had a really nice display. And went over to say hello to Seth Bergley and his wife, Becky, and they were showing me, you know, their new products, their new gun, everything like that. We talked about it last week. But the coolest part, why this was my favorite moment, was Seth was there with friends that he served with, guys that he knew when he was a competitive shooter before he even joined the military. Guys that he then served with in the Army Marksman Unit. And one of the guys that's there is about to retire from the military, and he's already got a job lined up at Shield Arms in Big Fork, Montana. So to me, that was the highlight, because here you got a Montana kid who started a successful company, a veteran who served his country and has now got a successful company up and running, and he's bringing other members of the team along with him and other veterans. So that's why that was the highlight for me. So, Coach John, thanks for that. Now, the funniest highlight of the SHOT Show, do you guys want to hear that one? Well, send me a message on the Montana Talks app if you want to hear the funniest highlight from the SHOT Show. I'll share it with you, but let's get back to your phone calls in the meantime. Let's see, Robert in Helena. What line is Robert? Or did we lose Robert? I think we lost Robert. Or is he back on? Oh, Robert's back on line one. There we go. Robert, what's going on?
Hello. How are we doing this morning?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for the call.
Just curious if anybody's talking about this new pistol brace rule that they pushed through the ATF and basically overnight made probably a couple million people felons.
Oh, yeah.
Is what you're hearing on that, and what you're hearing, if anything. You know, I know we've got a couple laws here in Montana that's supposed to protect us from stuff like that. If you've just, you know, heard any hubbub on that.
Oh, yeah, that was plenty of people. We got a chance to talk with Tom Gresham, the host of Gun Talk Radio. We caught up with him offline about that to get his take on the ATF's move. Lauren Boebert, who I played that one clip earlier, Lauren Boebert, along with Dana Lash, who hosts a national radio show that's on in Missoula right after we come off the air. Dana Lash comes on with her national program. They both went to the ATF booth at the SHOT Show and confronted them about that very topic. But across the board, you had Attorney General Austin Knutson, you had Governor Gianforte and others all basically calling out the ATF for this lawless decision. They've already been smacked down by the courts over bump stock bans and other things. Tim Kennedy is another guy that I ran into down there. He's a Green Beret. He's well known in the gun industry. He's an MMA fighter. He said this. He said the ATF brace policy has three intents. One, tax a very small group of Americans, $200 per gun. Two, create a rifle registry. And then three, the point that you just made, immediately make tens of thousands of law-abiding Americans instant criminals. So yeah, that was definitely one of the biggest policy topics that we heard about down in Vegas last week.
Yeah, I figured when you're talking about the SHOT Show that would be a buzz, but I was just curious, you know, what they were going to do to fight it, or what they were doing to fight it. Yeah, through no fault of our own, we woke up and all of a sudden we're criminals. It's like, what the heck?
Well, and like Shield Arms that Ron and Big Fork was talking about, one of the things that Seth created was this integrated lower folding receiver. I probably screwed up the name there just off the top of my head, but basically where, you know, that butt stock, you know, you're familiar with the collapsing butt stock where you press the button and you can make it the rifle smaller, for example, right? Or in this case, the pistol smaller. Well, he actually created where now you push a button and that whole butt stock basically folds over. Well, that would basically be illegal under this action that's unilaterally put out by some bureaucrat with a pen.
Yeah, and one of the things I heard, they made it so vague that even just something as simple as having an optic on a pistol, they're trying to make that a short-barreled rifle. So, you know, I do a lot of hunting with my .44, and of course I've got a scope on it. You know, does that make it a short-barreled rifle? Am I be breaking the law when I use that to hunt now? You know, it's like,
Yes.
What are they?
Yeah, so when it's like, so a 9mm pistol now identifies as a rifle, according to the ATF, right?
Yeah. Mine's a wireless hole puncher. I don't have any firearms.
That's right. Well, Dana Lash, she had a funny line. I don't know if anybody caught it, but she says, I predict there's going to be a lot of boating accidents involving guns. There's going to be a lot of guns that get lost. And then they want you to self-report that you have one of these things, and then immediately you'd be on a list of criminals.
Yeah, I can see people just getting in line to do that. That's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, well, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Thanks for listening to KCAP. Great to hear from you.
Appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, you too. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Let's see. Let's go to Marilyn. Marilyn, what's on your mind?
Well, actually, Robert just addressed what's on my mind concerning the pistol braces. But my question, because it's very concerning, can the ATF actually make a rule like that? It can't be a law because it's not legislated. So can they make a rule and make it stick?
I don't think so. I think they will be shot down by the courts. They were just shot down by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. I think the Supreme Court would stand up to it as well. The great point that John Jackson made last week is what the ATF is basically doing at this point right now is just basically poking their thumb in the eye of these Supreme Court justices, saying, oh, we don't care what you guys say. We're going to press forward anyway. So I hope it ticks off these Supreme Court justices to make even bolder statements down the road. All right, stand by. We'll come back to you after this.
GoldenSilver.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Thanks to Marilyn in Billings for that phone call. Caught up with her during the break. She had to run, but either way, point taken. Great questions regarding, our coverage from the SHOT Show last week and, some of the conversations, particularly on this ATF pistol brace rule where, it might still be a 9mm pistol, but according to the ATF, it identifies as a rifle. See, you can identify as anything. You can't tell us the definition of a woman, but apparently you can now also change the definition of a pistol. Just like that. Let's see. Gary Marbot with the Montana Shooting Sports Association, of course, is, the MSSA has just been champions for our gun rights here in Montana. That's why we have so many incredible laws on the books backing up your Second Amendment rights. He sent out a notice on Saturday afternoon. And he says, may we remind you of one of MSSA's 70 legislative successes, House Bill 258 from the 2021 legislative session. That bill, passed by the legislature and signed into law by Governor Gianforte, prohibits all state and local government employees from enforcing or aiding to enforce any new federal gun laws, rules, or regulations adopted after January 1st, 2021. So that's a great reminder there from Gary Marbot about just one of the many successes that we have on the books in Montana, thanks to the MSSA. Tom Gresham is the host of Gun Talk. We're with you here every Monday through Friday with Montana Talks. And our various radio stations, our various affiliates all across Montana, not only have a great weekday lineup for you, but they have great weekend coverage as well. Great programs on the air over the weekends. Well, for our Billings affiliate, for 970 KBUL, they have a very popular program called Gun Talk. And, I have a lot of my military veteran friends from across the country. And whenever Montana is mentioned in this Gun Talk show, they'll send me a message. Hey, they just talked about Montana on Gun Talk. Well, we got a chance to talk with Tom Gresham from Gun Talk about this very ATF order that just came out. And based on what I heard from him, I think he's very confident that we are going to beat back this rule. We are going to win against this. Anyway, let's hear it in his own words. I'm hoping this works. Instead of playing the audio file from the interview, I'm going into our transcript here to see if I can just play it right from there, because that was the easiest way to pull up this particular topic. So I hope this works. Let's give it a shot.
Well, imagine this, the rule that the ATF just put out last week on pistol braces for ARs. And they said, yeah, no, that's actually illegal, and that's a short barrel rifle, you got to register. This is the same ATF that 4 years ago was telling everybody, these are perfectly legal, they're fine. And so we're making them, we're buying them. There are, we don't know how many, maybe 40 million of these out there right now. And then all of a sudden the ATF says, you know, we're changing our mind. And so you got all these companies that are making them, all these people who own them. And they said, what do we do with them? It's a mess. But don't worry. I'm just going to tell people, we have already filed lawsuits on this. I work with the Second Amendment Foundation. We had a lawsuit on this filed 2 years ago, and then there was a stay put on it because they said, look, got to wait for the final rule to come out. So, but we just, put it in. We activated it. A lot of things going on the Second Amendment front. Lawsuits in Illinois where they just passed a ban on semi-automatic rifles. New Jersey, we're winning big there. This whole post-Bruin, after the Bruin decision in the Supreme Court, I have never seen the speed that we're seeing of gun cases going to court, and we're winning. I mean, it is actually a wonderful time. I know people are saying, oh, they're passing all these gun laws. Don't worry. We're going to beat them back, and we're going to win all this.
Yeah. Great news. John Jackson, you got a question you want to throw Tom's way.
It just occurs to me that the pistol brace thing was almost retaliatory by them based on the bump stock decision. They got told, you cannot do these type of things, and they just come right back saying, you know what? Yes, we can. We're going to do it anyway.
It's an interesting point. Yeah, the Fifth Circuit ruled that, the bump stock ban is actually unconstitutional. Well, what they said, more than that, they said, look, ATF does not have the legal authority to define a gun. They don't get to decide what a gun is or what a machine gun is. Congress does that. And ATF, and there's this thing called the Chevron deference. It was a case involving Chevron. And they say, we're going to defer to agencies in law. So when they say something, they're an agency, they know what they're doing. But we're getting rid of the Chevron deference. We're going after that hard. And ATF says, that's a gun. Oh, no, it's a block of metal. It's like so-called ghost guns, personally made guns. And they're saying, yeah, but the precursors are also a gun. Well, a precursor, you're talking about a block of metal. I said, yeah, well, how far back are we going to go? Is the iron ore, a gun? And this is where they decide to, and you're right, it is definitely retaliatory. And the ATF has become a politically captured agency. And this rule they put out last week is 240-something pages long, almost indecipherable. And their whole idea is, we told you it was legal, and now we're going to tell you it's illegal. I think the same thing's going to happen to that rule as happened to the bump stock. I'm glad you connected those two, because I think you're exactly right.
All right. That was Tom Gresham, the host of Gun Talk. Just some of the people we got to catch up with. For our statewide show, we snuck in as many Montanans as we could, but there was a lot of other folks that we got to catch up just like that. So check out full audio, all of our conversations from the SHOT Show, photos and more. Go to MontanaTalks.com.